How many's ready to kickstart today? Are you ready to kickstart? All right, that's five of you. How about the rest of you? How many ready to kickstart today? Someone will grab those back two rows of lights for me there. Make sure everybody gets. I want you to make sure you can take notes today and see what's going on. I really appreciate you guys' heart today, and what an awesome job of the worship team. Can we just let our worship team and all of our sound technicians, everybody know how much we appreciate them? All the hard work, been working hard. Enjoyed that new song this morning. Today, last week we talked about kickstarting our purpose. Today I want to talk to you about kickstarting the process. Kickstarting the process. Last week was all about alignment, right? We got to align our purpose with God's purpose. Remember the umbrellas? We got to get our dream under God's dream. We got to get our purpose under God's greater purpose. As we do that, we can begin to see our dreams and our purpose begin to take shape, take life, catch momentum. That all happens as we learn to surrender it. And sometimes that simply means this: God, I'm letting go of mine and grabbing a hold of yours, if that's what he asks us to do. And so today, it's all about surrender. Now, today, we're going to talk about the process, okay? Kickstarting your process. We realize this, that we need a process. See, bringing the routine and the dream together, a routine plus the dream together, it equals what? It equals bringing it together today. It's going to allow the purpose to come to pass. So we're bringing the routine, bringing the dream, and bringing them together. You know, Ranker.com is always doing a survey, and it's always ongoing. And currently, this week, they've had one going for a long time on the top 10 life goals. The people vote on it. Let's go ahead and bring that list up. This is what people around the world are saying as together. Number one goal is enjoying life. Number two goal, financial freedom, being healthy. You see all the rest of them there: happiness, friendships, intellect, caring for others, pursuing passions, intimacy. All these things that people look for and goals in their life. And I just tell you that this is really crazy, because really we never achieve it, do we? We never achieve all these things. And what happens is this: we'll achieve a couple of these, and it brings short-term happiness. And the next thing you know, we're on this ongoing pursuit of happiness, because it only lasts temporary, and then we're on to the next goal. And it's really crazy, because, you know, how do some of these work together? How can I be healthy and still enjoy life? I mean, the two don't always go together, do they? Being healthy and enjoying life, because enjoying life to me is stopping by Brahms every day and having a banana split, you know? Or like getting that shake, or, you know, I like getting the shakes, or love Andes. Oh, yeah, come on, someone say amen to Andes. I love Andes. I love snow cones during the summer. I love root beer floats. And so, you know, being healthy and enjoying life, they kind of battle each other. You know, how can I take time to grow intellectually when I'm trying to serve others and I spend all my time? So a lot of these are always battling each other, and we make it too complicated. So today I want to tell you, as a Christian, okay, as a Christian, your number one goal is not to pursue these things. Nothing wrong with this list. It's a very healthy list, and there's nothing wrong with having some of these goals in our life. But our number one goal overall as a Christian should be this: I've got to learn to enjoy God. I've got to learn to enjoy God. And when I say enjoy God, I mean enjoy my relationship with God, grow and develop my relationship with God, and that he really, really, really wants to know me. He really, really wants me to know him. He really wants us to grow tight together. He wants us to become best friends. He sent his Holy Spirit to speak to me, direct me, guide me, lead me. And my number one goal in life should be to know God more. That's what my number one goal should be in my life. Otherwise, it's a never-ending pursuit of happiness. So we got to get this thing going. Because, see, purpose without process, remember we said last week, purpose without process is just a dream. You can have a clear definition of your purpose. You can have some great dreams, but if you don't set into motion a process, you'll never achieve them. I mean, it's all right to have dreams, you know, and we love stories about dreams. We love movies about dreams. We love writing dreams down. But until you put the motion into action, until you put the process into motion, you're not going to see it happen. And so my first thing is I got to know my purpose is to know God more. My purpose is to surrender to God every part of my life. And then there's a process that I got to put into motion into my life. So today we're talking about this process. Remember our text last week? Let's go back to it today to start off. Jeremiah 29:11. One of the most famous scriptures in every Christian's refrigerator, right? We got plaques in our home to say it, for I know the plans. Everybody say plans. God's got a plan for your life. He knows it. He goes, I've got plans. God has plans for your life. He goes, and they're not for disaster, they're for good. God says, there are plans for good, not for disaster. You're not going to be destroyed. You may be cast down. You may be shaken, but you're not going to what? You're not going to be destroyed. He goes, these plans are for good and not for disaster. It's the plans for your future and a hope. And so keeping that in mind, though, we're realizing that when God said this to the children of Israel, they were in exile. Babylon had came and taken over their territory. Babylon had came and kicked them out of their houses, took away their lands, took away their farms, took away their cattle, took away their crops. All this is happening. And so now they're living in Babylon. Now they're in captivity, Babylon captivity, and they're there, okay? And so how do you walk this out through the process? In Jeremiah 29:4-5, look what it says. It's still what he told him. While you're in exile, he goes, I want you to build homes, right? I want you to build, I want you to plan, and I want you to plant. Let's say it together. Build, plan, plant. One more time. Build, plan, plant. One more time. Build, plan, plant. While you're on plan B, God wants you to build, plan, and plant. All right, write this down. Number one, how do we do this? How do I kickstart the process? Number one, tomorrow starts today. How many people love tomorrow, right? We're going to change the world tomorrow. We're going to get in shape tomorrow. We're going to start that diet tomorrow. I'm going to start working toward my degree tomorrow. I'm going to become a better spouse tomorrow. I'm going to become a better parent tomorrow. I'm going to become a better friend tomorrow. I'm going to give more tomorrow. I'm going to organize that garage tomorrow. I mean, everything is about tomorrow. I mean, little Annie, she had it right, right? Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, you're only a... And isn't it amazing that tomorrow's always just a day away? And when I wake up tomorrow... Tomorrow's just a day away. It's always there. We see it. And, you know, tomorrow, I mean, there's been more things built. There's been more things planned. There's been more things planted tomorrow than any other day of the year, right? I mean, everybody's doing it tomorrow. Everybody's getting in shape tomorrow. Everybody's getting out of debt tomorrow. Everybody's doing something for God tomorrow. But we got to start it today. You want to start the process, you got to quit letting excuses, you got to quit letting things crowd out your time, and you got to say, tomorrow starts today. I got to put something into motion. See, the children of Israel are like, tomorrow we're going back, tomorrow we're going back to, you know, we're in Babylon now, we're in exile, but tomorrow, it's just a short time, tomorrow we're going back, we're going back tomorrow, and tomorrow we'll get back to normality. Tomorrow we'll get back to building. Tomorrow we'll get back to multiplying. Tomorrow we'll get back to planting. Tomorrow we'll get back to making plants. And God was like, time out. Time out. Remember what he said to him last week? We talked about it. He said, tomorrow isn't going to happen tomorrow. He says, this is what is going to happen. You're going to be in exile for 70 years. You're going to be here for 70 years. So you better get ready. You better do something today because tomorrow is a lot longer than you think. They were living in tomorrow, and God gave them a reality check. Said, no, tomorrow's today. See, what God was saying to them was simply this. He was saying, I want you to grow where you're planted. Grow where you're planted. God expects you to grow where you're planted. And he also expects you to stay planted. All throughout Scripture, we see this principle that God expects you to stay planted. If you're always uprooting yourself, you're not going to produce the fruit. You're not going to see God's purpose come to fruition in your life, because you're going to have to go through some hard times. You're going to have to go through some trials. You're going to have to go through some tests. That's what makes your roots grow stronger. That's what makes your faith increase. That's what increases God in your life. That's what increases your testimony. And so you got to learn to stay planted and grow where you're planted. Everybody's looking for instant growth, aren't we? We want to be put in the microwave and boom, there it is. And God says, I want you to grow no matter where you're at. I expect you to grow there. Quit uprooting all the time. Stay planted. It takes time. Listen, it's never the wrong time to love God and love people. Let me say it again. It's never, ever, ever the wrong time to know God, to love God, to know Him more, and to love people. That's always God's will. No matter what plan you're on, A, B, C, D, doesn't make a difference if you're living in the blessing, or you're walking in the promise, or you're walking in exile, and you're through your biggest trial and journey you're going through. God, it's always the right time to begin to love God. It's always the right time to say, God, I want to grow in you. God, I want to know you more. It's always the right time to know God, to love God, to love people, and to teach others to do the same. Let me say it one more time. It's always the right time to love God, to love people, and to teach others to do the same. That's what He expects of us. He says, I want you to grow where you're planted. I expect that of you. See, I read this story the other day about a man who was 51 years old in the UK, and he sneezed, and when he sneezed, bring his picture up, when he sneezed out the end of a dart gun. You remember those little suction cups on the end of those darts? You could shoot them on the glass and they would stick. Yeah? Remember the days when my parents would buy us actually guns to play with? It was pretty cool. Okay, anyway, different times there. But anyway, he sneezed and the end of one of those things came out of his nose. Can you imagine that? Achoo! Now that's a loogie right there. That was the end of the cap of the dart. The whole suction cup comes flying out of his nose. Can you imagine what he's thinking? Oh, my God. How did that get in my nose? And he's thinking, and he's thinking, and he's thinking, and he can't think of any way. How did that thing get in my nose? And so he called his mom and said, Mom, you won't believe what just happened. He goes, I sneezed, and the end of this dart came out the end of my nose. And she said, you are kidding me. Are you kidding me? She said, no, this is that mom. I got it right here. This happened. She goes, you're not going to believe this. But 44 years ago, when you were 7, I walked into the room and the end of that dart was missing. And I knew, I had the mother intuition, I knew either you swallowed it or it went up your nose or something. I took you to the doctor. They couldn't find it. They told me he probably just lost it. And I knew I was right. He'd been living with that thing for 44 years, stuck up in his nasal cavity. He'd had sinus issues all of his life. He had headaches off and on. All of a sudden, one good sneeze and poof, it's out. Can you imagine living with that for 44 years, stuck up your nose? Wow, 44 years. He had that thing stuck. And the thing about it is that, see, he adjusted over time where he didn't even know anything was wrong. His body, his mind, he'd gotten so used to having it up there, he didn't even realize anything was wrong. And that's kind of what happens to us, is that we have things that don't belong, but we get so used to having them there that we just get comfortable with it. Even though we need to get them out of our life, they're taking away God's purpose out of our life, they're crowding out God's schedule out of our life, all these things are happening, we get so used to having it there, but we don't even realize something's wrong. We got to do an inventory. See, we got to learn to adjust our life. We need to learn that this. We need to learn that to bring God's dream into my life every single day. I need to learn how to bring God's dream into my life every single day. I made the most important decision of my life in the summer of 1990. I was a Christian, but I really didn't sell out to the Lord until later on after I graduated high school. And I remember one year I was working. I'd finished my first year of college at the local university, and I was working. I told the story before how God spoke to me in the middle of the night, working an overnight shift there in the back of the factory by myself, stacking these boxes and palletizing these things up, getting them wrapped up, hot, sweaty. I'm back there, and all of a sudden I hear God's voice come to me and say, "Gene, I've got something greater for your life. Gene, I got a plan for your life. Gene, I got more. I got more I want to do." And I remember making that decision back in the back of that factory. I said, "God, I don't know what this is going to look like because all the pastors I know are crazy. And I can't do it that way. I don't understand that. Even most of the Christians I knew were pretty crazy. I ain't going to lie to you." And so I was like, "I don't know what all this is going to look like, but I say yes. I say yes." And when I said yes to that, I started the process in my life, and I've been making decisions all along based on that decision. I started the process. I said, "All right, God, I know you want me to do more. I know I need to grow. I don't have any idea about what the Bible really means. Besides, I know the story of Jesus and the cross and some Bible stories growing up. But I really need to know more." So I said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to enroll in Bible college. I'll give myself 1 year of Bible college because, you know, I'm not going to go 4 years of college there. You know, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. Those people are kind of crazy and weird. So, you know, I'm too cool for school. I ain't doing that." And so I said, I'll give it one year. And I enrolled in 1 year. And as I was there a year, God spoke and said, I got more for you. All right, God, I'll finish. And, you know, when I finish, I'll be a youth pastor. But I'm definitely not ever going to be a senior pastor because all the senior pastors I know, boy, they're just too weird for me, God. So I can't do that. And I made a decision to be a youth pastor. And then eventually God moved to my heart to be a senior pastor. You know, and it's not that one was greater than the other, but I'm just saying that every yes decision started the process. I could have waited and said, "All right, God, I say yes to you back in the factory," and just waited for something to drop in my lap. It didn't happen. I had to take a process, and the process was I had to take the next step. God, what's the next step for me to learn? What's the next step for me to grow? What's the next step you're wanting me to do? What are you calling me to do? And I didn't even know that makes sense to me. I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. If I didn't know where I was going to go. I tell you the truth, I was going to play football, and so I went to Evangel University, met with the coach. He offered me a place on the team. I was going to go to Evangel because it was a Christian university. But on my way, God said, "Stop off here. I want you to go to college. I got some friends here. I want you to stop and see them." And so I stopped and seen some friends there. Next thing I know, I'm enrolled in college. I come home and say, "I know you thought I was going to play football at Evangel, but it's not going to happen now. I stopped at a college and I enrolled and I'm going to Bible college." You would think my family would be like, "Yes, this is great. Hallelujah. You're so proud of you." No, they're like, "What are you thinking?" My friends were like, "What are you thinking? Have you lost your mind? You of all people, they'll kick you out of Bible college the first semester." I was voted as the most likely to not succeed. I can tell you that right now. My advisor, Hillary, Sister Minor, she looked at me and she was like, "This guy will be out here within 2 weeks. I can tell you right now." And it was very true. But you know what? It was started the process of my life, and I couldn't wait for somebody else to do it. I just had to take a step in the process. It's always about the process, taking a step. Quit waiting for tomorrow and do something today. You got to make the most of it. I love what John Maxwell says. I love this. This is a pretty cool quote here. Look at this. He says, "Making good decisions, but minus the daily things, the daily discipline, it equals a plan, but it has no payout, no payoff." He goes, "But if you have the daily discipline, but you don't have the good decisions to follow it, daily discipline minus good decisions, it equals regimentation without reward. You're just going through the motions. You're just going through the motions, but you're not seeing any kind of reward. But when you make good decisions and say, 'All right, I'm going to start something today. I'm going to start making better decisions today. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what everything next week, but today I'm going to start making better decisions.' And then daily, I start a process of daily discipline. Those two things equal together," he says, "is a masterpiece of potential." Today, we're a masterpiece of potential when we put the plan into motion. We say yes to God. Make that decision. Make a decision. Say yes, and then start a process. Do something today to put that process into motion. And number two, you got to learn to resist the dwindle, right? Resist the dwindle. Look what he says in verse 6 of Jeremiah 29. He goes, I want you to marry, have children, find spouses for them that you may have many grandchildren. He says, I want you to multiply. Now, I got that one down. I got five kids. I multiplied. How many's got three or more kids? Raise your hands. So you, how many's got two kids? Raise your hand if you got two kids. All right. You just added. You didn't multiply. Okay? The rest of us, I've done more of my share. Okay? I love that multiply thing. He goes, I want you to multiply. But the most important part, he says, I want you to multiply, but I don't want you to dwindle away. He says this, don't go hide yourself in your house and pull your curtains down and stay in your robe all day long and your PJs and just binge on Netflix and begin to go ahead and just stay there and isolate yourself from all your friends and isolate yourself from those who care about you the most. Start going to church all because Plan B happened in your life. He's like, don't dwindle away because you're in exile. Don't dwindle away. Stay connected. Stay connected. Grow. Multiply. So how do we do this when life hands you Plan B? I never saw Plan B coming. I had Plan A. But Plan B is this. I never saw it coming, Pastor. And now I'm living my life here in Plan B. How do I live my life there? How do I do this? How do I stop from dwindling away? Well, I love this illustration this morning. Let's say that this jug right here, it represents our life, and these tennis balls represent the core values that really belong the most important in our life. Core values such as my relationship with God, or core values such as my spouse, core values such as my children, core values such as my personal health. I mean, what are some really core values that God calls us to have in our life? We have those core values in our life, and we try to multiply them in our life. Now, today, what happens often is this, is we have sand, which represents some of the small values in our life. You know, how many know that if the world is going to dictate your schedule? I mean, how many know life is busy? Anybody here say, I can raise both hands, life just comes at you. I mean, we have all kinds of things that are going to come out of this week. They're going to bide for our time, bide for our attention. And, you know, this can be small things. This can represent Netflix right here, right? I mean, come on. This can be Netflix right here. Nothing wrong with Netflix, but, you know, it can take our time. And it can be things like, you know, football season's kicking off, and you won't find a bigger fan than me. I'll be watching the games. I'll be going to a lot of the games. You know, I'm a big fan. But if I'm not careful, it can take priority in my life. All these things happen and take priority. And then we have other things such as maybe our job and relationships outside of other people. You know, this different things in our life that come and crowd us out. And if we're not careful, what happens is this, is that if we start our foundation with all everybody else dictating what our foundation is, this is what our life looks like. We have the sand first, right? We have the sand first and it fills up fast. And then you add on a few other important minor things there. And then when it gets to really important things in our life, we don't have room, do we? We don't have room for much else. We don't have room for much core value. I don't want to add God's purpose to my life, but where am I going to fit it in, Pastor? I want to take a step in motion for God, but where am I going to fit it in, God? Where am I going to do this? I want to do better in my family, but where am I going to fit it in? I want to do better at this and my children, but where am I going to fit it in? I want to serve others, but where am I going to fit it in, Pastor? My life is already full. This is the way our life looks. It's already full. But see, what you got to realize is when you put God first and when you establish, listen to me, you establish what's important. You decide what's important. You decide your core values. You decide what goes in first. You put those things in first in your life. You put those things in first. And then there's plenty of room for everything else, okay? There's still room for Netflix. Come on now. You can still have a time of binging on Netflix once in a while. There's still plenty of room. See, it is still fitting there, right? It still goes in there. It still fills up in there just fine. Oh, I love him making a mess here. This is going to be great for the cleaning crew. Yeah, this is great. Look at that. It all goes in. It all goes in there. You see, it all still goes in there fine. It all goes in just great. I got some other things in my life that are important. You know, I got to make some money, Pastor. I got to pay my bills. And I got things to take care of, the house and all that, my yard and all those other things. There's still plenty of time for all that. See, it all still fits there. It still all goes there. It's still all, there's still plenty of room for all that there. See, it all still goes in right there. It all still fits. It's all still there. You see, it all still fits. But if I let all those things go first, the most important things don't fit. But when I put the most important things first, everything else will still be there. I can still root for my team. I can still watch my favorite show. I can still do some favorite hobbies. I can still have time for other friends. It's all there. But the foundation is this. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my children, they're going to know that God's first. And we're going to put the foundational stuff first and then everything else build around it. Do you receive that illustration this morning? Does that mean something to you this morning? All right. So you see, we dictate that. The process, it starts with me. I got to decide what fits, okay? And number three, write this down. Work for peace and prosperity. Work for peace and prosperity. The Israelites were like this. God, you asked me to build, plant, and multiply and help the Babylons prosper. I mean, God's asking them to help the Babylons prosper. It's kind of like tomorrow if you go to work and your boss drives up in a brand new car, and you look and say, "Boss, that's a brand new car. Oh, I love your new car, boss." He's like, "Yeah, I just got it off the lot this weekend. Isn't it great? Yeah, it's an awesome car. Looks great." He goes, "Yeah, man, looks good, boss." And the boss looks at you real sincere and says, "Listen, if you work hard, you apply yourself this year, and you work really, really hard, next year I can get even a better car." It's kind of the way they're feeling, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of, you know, I'm doing all this so they can prosper. God's like, yep, that's what I want you to do. I want you to learn to allow them to prosper. I want you to learn because if they prosper, you prosper. If they prosper, then God prospers. And I'm going to take care of you. God says, I want you to work for the peace. I want you to work for the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Man, they wasn't feeling it. Look what it says in 29:7. He told them, I want you to work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. He goes, I want you, while you're in plan B, even if you don't like it, I want you to learn to work for the peace and prosperity. Does this really work, Pastor? Really? Really? Yeah, he wants you to do that. Why? Because let me give you a little secret today, okay? Listen to me. Everybody looking at me right here. We are all in exile. Because the Bible says this world is not our home. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't tell you this. He goes, and I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I do that, I'm going to come back and I'm going to bring you back to myself. Remember, this life is just one breath compared to eternity with Jesus. We're all in exile. We're all in exile. This is all plan B. I'm telling you that my job is to plant while I'm here, build while I'm waiting. I don't sit around, all right, God, when you come back, no. He says, while you're waiting, I want you to multiply. I want you to build. I want you to plan. I want you to cause the city you live in to prosper. I want you to multiply, plan, build, peace, prosperity, bring it there, no matter where you're at, because this world is not your home. Ultimately, you may be in exile for a year. You may be in for 70 years. And some of you may never see, I leave exile until we get to heaven, because all of us are there. This world is not our home. It's not our home. It belongs to the Lord, and we're going to spend eternity with Him. Keep it in perspective. You see, should I demand when I'm doing wrong? Should I do good for the people, even if I don't like my boss? Even if I don't like plan B? Should I cause it to prosper? Yes, yes. Well, will that work, Pastor? I'm just going to make my boss get a new car. I don't know. Ask Daniel how that worked for him when he was in the lion's den. Ask Joseph how it worked for him when he was in the pit. Ask Joseph how it worked for him when he was falsely accused and put in prison. How does it, when you cause a household to prosper, when you cause a nation to prosper, when you cause the king to prosper, even though you're in his jail, in his dungeon, When you cause them to prosper, God says, I will cause you to prosper. I'm telling you, this is the way. Some of you, the reason why you're in prison is not because you're in exile. It's because you allowed exile to put you in prison. You have not allowed yourself to break free from that. See, when you cause wherever you're at to prosper, man, you're doing it unto the Lord. God, I'm going to work this job unto you. And my boss, he yells at me all the time, doesn't appreciate me. Well, great. God's teaching you patience. God's teaching you forgiveness. God's teaching you how to hold your tongue, right? God knows we all need it, including me. Maybe the worst, okay? He's teaching us something. He's teaching us through this process because really what's really important is this. See, God values, look at this, God values faith. He values the faith journey more than the clarity of our future. He values the faith journey more than the clarity about our future. He's more worried about the faith of saying, yes, God, I don't know what it looks like, than the person who says, yeah, God already spoke to me. What's going to happen in the next 10 years? That's great. If God speaks for you, what's going to happen in the next 10 years? Great. Awesome. But he's more worried about this faith journey. He's more pleased with the person who steps out in faith and says, God, I don't know where this process is going to take me, but tomorrow starts today. I'm stepping out, and I'm going to do something for God today. I'm going to do something to fulfill the call of my life today. I'm going to do something to walk in my purpose today, and I'm going to step out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to start. I don't know. I'm going to invite some friends to lunch, and I'm going to tell them I want to meet with them once a month and do a women's Bible study with them, or guys once a month. I want to be with them and just tell them, man, we can be better fathers together. I don't know what that looks like. Just disorganize. First thing you do is just send them a text, okay? Just send a text and see who will come. Just see. Just have one meeting. Why do I sound like Jerry Seinfeld today? I don't know. My voice. Sinuses. Okay, there we go. All right. Wouldn't it be great if God could just get up in the morning and we could just see God's message in the clouds? I mean, wouldn't that be great? I mean, has he ever done that? Let's see that. Has he ever got a message for us there? Come on now, football season. That's my sand, okay. Football season. Next week, next Saturday. Hallelujah. God made it very clear who he's for, just so you know. All right, OU. Some of you are like, what do you put KU up there? I don't know, you ask him. He put OU in the clouds. You know, we see in the Bible where one time he led a million people, he led them by clouds, right? He was trying to get a million people to leave captivity and get to the promised land. And so he was leading a million people, okay? And so he used clouds to lead this million people out. And he's like a fire by night and clouds by day. But we don't come outside tomorrow and it's going to be wrote on the clouds. Hey, today I want you to be nice to this person. Today I want you to serve this person. Today I want you to go out and help serve at your church. Today I want you to go out and get involved in ministry. Today it's not going to be written in the clouds. It's not going to be there, okay? So how do we kickstart the process today as we close? How do we get this process kickstarted? First of all, it starts today. Start today. Do something. Meet with some mentors. Get some other people around you who are doing something for God. Say, I got to put a plan together. I feel like I don't even know what it looks like yet, but I want to put a plan together. Start today. Putting a plan together today. Put it into motion. Take a step forward today. Not tomorrow. Today. 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 Put something into motion today. Resist dwindling away. Don't disconnect. Don't get your feelings hurt. I got to go hide now. No, I don't resist the dwindle. I got to stay plugged in, stay planted, and work where you're planted. Work where you're planted. That starts a process and a motion. I promise you, once you do that, it'll start a process and a motion. And where God ends up taking you could be around the world. Right? Hillary, I'm glad you're here today. She's one of our missionaries to Brazil. And her husband, he was here a couple weeks ago. We had to leave last week. She's here seeing her mom, taking care of her mom. And Hillary and I go a long ways back. Back when I was a youth pastor, she was one of my youth staff. And I said, Hillary, I know you got a heart for missions. Can you put together a missions trip for us to go to Brazil for our students? And she did that very gladly and excited and did that, put together a wonderful trip. There she met her future husband. And now she's been a missionary living there. God gave her the language. Within a few months of living there, just gave her Portuguese just like that. It's not an easy language. God just gave it to her like that. How does that happen? She just, yes, yes, said yes. Planted churches in Manaus, worked up and down the Amazon. Now God's using her on the other side of Brazil to plant another church and expanding. Hey, how'd you get there? She was working as a volunteer in the youth department, just serving where needed, which led to saying, hey, why don't you organize a trip to Brazil for me? And now look where God's taking her. God's doing in their ministry. I love what the God just... Some of my dearest friends, I love, they're so proud of what God's done in their life. But it all starts with the answer to say yes. It just starts with the answer to say yes. Put it in motion today. Put it in motion today. Put a process in motion today. I want you to bow your heads before we go any further today. Some of you just need to start today. The first motion you need to put in process is just simply say this. God, I'm saying yes to you. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today, if you've never done that, I want you to say, today's my day. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, for your sins, and today you want to surrender your life to him. You've never prayed that prayer before. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. I want to make sure you have a chance to respond today. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ. Can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else want to join them? Thank you. Thank you, guys. Put your hands down. We have those who raised their hands, and we're going to say this prayer. If you raised your hand, I want you to say it out loud with me. And as Christians sitting around you, we're going to help you along. We'll say it out loud as well. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept your grace in my life. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from the bottom of your heart this morning, we say welcome to the family, God. Give him a hand clap this morning. Before you leave today, stop by our hub back here to my left. We have a free Bible we want to put in your hand. Some other information on next step things you need to know. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. How many of you stand on your feet? Say, Pastor, man, I'm feeling motivated today. God's speaking to me. To stop letting things tomorrow will be my excuse, and I'm ready today to say, God, I'm ready to start putting things into motion. If God was speaking to you today in any part of this message, can you just raise your hand and say, that was me? Yeah, okay, yeah, good, great. Hey, let's do it. It's all about the faith journey, right? It's all about the faith journey. Next week, we're going to talk about kickstarting the faith journey, okay? Don't miss it. Part 3, kickstarting the faith journey. We're going to sing this song today as we close, talking about not letting fear hold us back any longer. Come on. We're not going to let fear hold us back anymore. Let's take the process and start it today. Come on, give my hand clap this morning. Can I invite you just to lift your hands up one more time? I want to pray for you before you leave today. We lift our hands as a sign of just opening up our life and say, God, we surrender everything we are to you. God, as we open our hands up to you today, I pray that, Father, our heart's first response will be, today, yes. Today, yes. God, today, yes. God, may today we put into motion, Lord, something that will have eternal meaning. God, we're not called just to go through the motions of going to work, coming home, and going to work, and coming home. God, you got more. Every person in this room, you've got so much more. You've got plans to bring good, to prosper, not of harm. And right now, I come against every spirit of defeat, every spirit of discouragement, of people who try to say that, God, they would never amount to anything, they would never see anything accomplished because of mistakes or something in their past, or maybe they just didn't believe in them. But God, today, I thank you that fear has no home today. And I say right now, God, I release in the house today a yes spirit. I release in the house today a yes spirit. Today, spirit. Yes, today. 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 If you believe that, come on, say yes today, God. Yes today, God. Yes today, God. Put your hands together now. Give him a shout. Give him a praise. All right. Remember, it's the faith journey. It's the faith journey. Next week, we're kicking off the faith journey, all right? God bless you. Turn to somebody, give them a big high five, and say, it was so good to be with you in church today. We love every one of you. Thank you for being here today.